This is Firepower. Are you ready for tonight's broadcast? We're going to talk about one of the most important questions that we've asked yet. Is America becoming a dictatorship? What does that mean? What does that look like? How can we stop it? They're trying to control the youth. Have you noticed this? Mario and I are going to discuss this, and we're going to lay out their tactics. Then we're going to get into the ideology. It's above reason and truth what they're trying to convince Americans, and many people are falling for it. We're going to talk about the danger of ideologies and how we combat it as believers. Also, we're going to talk about the unexpected solution, and that's what we're all about here at Firepower. We want to bring you the problem, but also the solution. Before I bring on Mario, I want to first of all say, how'd you like that new intro? It's an amazing new intro, isn't it? I bet you have not seen another show with an intro like that.
No, very excited
about this intro. Also, can you please share the broadcast? We are censored because of the things that we're saying and the truth that we're speaking. And so we do need your help in sharing the broadcast. Well, with that, I want to introduce my friend, Mr. Mario Murillo. Mario, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, my friend. I'm glad to be here. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, we're going to get right to the point about tonight. Is America going to become a dictatorship? There's so many indications of that. Freedoms being overruled, decisions being made. Today we just saw President Biden decide to lower the amount of oil production just as the price of gasoline is going up. It makes no sense, and that's what we're going to talk about, is all of the choices that are being made that don't make sense. The other issue that we are going to nail right between the eyes is what is going to cause this dictatorship? If it comes, from whence will it come? And it's not like you think. It's not going to be inflation. It's not going to be a foreign power. It's not going to even be the perversion that we see going on. It's something else. And we've got it. We've got all the information. We're going to get into it right now. And Todd, I want to tell you, you know, it's very important what we're seeing. And I just want you to know that I feel like you have been given some very special insights that we're going to talk about tonight. But first of all, let me ask you right now, in what we're talking about, is it valid for us to look at the audience and say America is threatening to become a dictatorship? Are we giving into some conspiracy theories, or is this a subject that really does need to be confronted?
Oh, absolutely needs to be confronted. This is something, Mario, that I've been tracking for the last like 10 or 15 years, and substantial erosion of our freedoms, our religious liberty, for example. We've seen people that are Christian business owners come under attack. We've seen churches come under attack. Just look what happened during the COVID era, you know, where pastors were thrown in jail for having church services, where people were fined in all these Democrat cities and these blue cities. Their power was being shut off at churches. I got calls from all over the nation, people that were stewardess that worked for the airlines, pilots, NYPD officers that lost their pension because they didn't want to take the Fauci ouchie, if you know what I mean. So there has been a substantial erosion. And we have to use these key words on these broadcasts. I'm getting better at it. But I think this is it's actually high time that the church talks about this. And it's really egregious to me that we've been more reactionary instead of proactive in this area. But now we're at such a critical moment here, Mario. I mean, they're actually very astute people that are saying we literally could lose the country the way that we know it. The Constitution is out the window. And so some people are even suggesting that it's too late. I don't believe it's too late, but I think that it is a very urgent matter and we need to talk about it. That's why we're discussing it on tonight's show.
And so here it goes. We're going to divulge what we believe is the principle, a direction of the threat. From where will the threat come? Here is what every dictatorship has in common. Before they could seize power, they had to do one thing: separate the children from the parents. In every single dictatorship, that was done. The family was cracked, and the dictator got the allegiance of the young. And when he or she had the allegiance of the young, all of the rights were overruled. Why are the young so important in this metric, in this firewall against tyranny? Why are they so important? Well, you're going to discover this in how the tactic has changed. For a moment there, it appeared, and many Christians kind of fell for this false reprieve, this let up in censorship. They fell for it, but it's back with a vengeance. And the element of society that cancels the other is stronger now than it's ever been. And it's bringing results that are clear and evident and real. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, Todd, is how dismissive the left is right. in their talk about children, because they are very dismissive. And we have a video that we're going to look at in just a moment that we want to comment on. And her name is Lesia Miller. And you're going to see this lady. She's a YouTuber. And why did I pick this video? I picked it because it embodies how dismissive, how normal, and how they believe they're right and we're the ones who are crazy. And you'll see how the script gets flipped on this. So I guess I'll call for it. Let's go ahead and roll the tape.
Lately, there's been a barrage of new laws around the country aimed at everything from anti-vaxxing to critical race theory in schools to treatment for trans kids to drag shows for kids to kids accessing social media. The through line in all of this? Parents' rights. A growing rallying cry from the right that they get to indoctrinate whatever they want into their kids' heads, and no one, especially not the government, has the right to interfere with that or present their kid with any alternative forms of thought. Is that true, though? What actually are your rights over that little crotch goblin you've spawned?
Wow.
Okay, go ahead, Todd. You're first.
Well, I think there might be a leak coming from her nose or her brain might be coming through. I'm not sure. There's something there is very wrong, let me tell you. Listen, what the left has tried to do is they've tried to convince us that we don't have the right to parent our kids. Right away, I think about the scripture says spoil, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. What the left wants us to do is just completely not have any discipline over the child. Let the government control the child. Let them make the deciding factors. But that is not the way this country was founded. It certainly isn't the way the Bible explains that we're supposed to raise our kids. And so this is actually a demonic ideology is what this is. It's taking away the authority from the rightful people, which are the parents that are supposed to raise their kids in the ways of the Lord and teach them. We basically, essentially as parents, we disciple our kids. We mentor our kids. We show them what's right. We teach them the word of God. We protect them. What they're trying to do is they're replacing biblical Christianity with government. And this is what the left does so often, is they try to replace God with government. That's why so many people on the left are looking to government as if government's God. You notice, and Mario, you're going to bring up a statistic in just a minute, which is going to absolutely substantiate this. Why don't you do that, actually? This is very interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what I noticed with her is this. The idea is that our children don't belong to us. Now, let's look at this statistics right now on the left. Only 10% of Republicans trust the government, that believe the government will do the right thing. 75% of Democrats believe that the government will do the right thing. That's the divide. But the overwhelming majority of youth are in the Democratic Party. Now, this is what And I want to get back to this lady's video in a second. Those are the statistics that show where we are. But let's get back to her for a moment. The first thing you'll notice is what I said is dismissive. It's like there's this whole barrage of parents going to the meetings, standing up for their kids. There's this horrendous thing going on. And it is totally the opposite. For years, we have been barraged. And I think the statistic that you were looking for is a different one, and I'll get to it in a second. Now I know what you're talking about. It's always good when we team up like this, Todd, and we get it straight.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that was a good one too, though. I mean, it just shows where we're at here, though. When you think about this, that the left are willing to just hand their kids over like this. And this is why you're seeing the curriculums that are out of control. We're seeing kids that are in schools that are getting surgery to become transgender without even the approval of their parents. Child Protective Services. I've heard cases where Child Protective Services are going after parents if they won't call their kids the proper pronoun. I mean, this is where we're at in America, So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mario.
No, you actually bought time and saved my neck, and I appreciate it. All right, here we go. There are 1,040 school districts that just in this school year, this is school is just going in today, this week, implemented policies to keep parents in the dark about their child's identifying as you know what. That is 18,335 schools, more than 10.7 million children. That's what we're talking about. Now, the way she makes it sound is all this stuff going on. There are laws being written to protect parents' rights. There are people going and stopping these library readings. And you would think that the flood is the right against the left, that the left is this normal everyday. What's wrong? What's wrong with what we're doing? You know, it's the look on her face of disgust and like, I can't believe it. What have we done wrong? How in the world can you possibly think that child belongs to you? And that's the part that's an intimidation tactic to try to make you feel crazy. Like there's something wrong with you. Really?
Yeah.
You don't like what we're doing? And then they're the victim. They're not the victim. We who are standing for Christ in America are the ones that are facing a tidal wave of rejection of our rights as parents. And the other thing she did that I think is so important is that she called us basically out of our minds. Can you imagine any parent thinking that they have a right to put their beliefs in their children? Wow. And then she ends it. I mean, whatever shred of credibility she had, she uses the term, I really don't want to use it. She called children crotch goblins. That's what they are. And no wonder that the left with abortion being pro-choice very often regard a child as an intrusion, maybe even a disease. And it's sad that the church can't wake up to this and say, you know what? What you just said is inappropriate, wrong, it's a lie. And my Bible tells me, train up a child in the way they should go. Not only is she wrong to question a parent's rights, it's emphatically true that you're to put your beliefs and your values in your children. And no movement that is against that should be allowed to operate unchecked in our nation. Shouldn't happen.
That's right. You know, I bet you the Firepower Nation, those that are watching this, are just as equally annoyed and upset with what she said as you are and I am, because it is an outrage. And to think that they can actually get away with these types of things. You know, if you think about this, I always look at it, Mario, and say it's not only where they're at right now, but where are they going with this ideology? So it's right now they're already saying our kids don't belong to us. They're raised by the community. The government has the right to tell them what to do. But what is the slippery slope on that? What is the next step? Because if you think about it, for instance, when they started pushing gay marriage, now we have the whole trans movement. Now it's going towards minor attraction. There's always an escalation. There's always another place that they're headed. So my question is, what is the next step? And I think that goes back to the original question of the broadcast today. Is America turning into a dictatorship? Because this is what happens in communist China. You know, I was just reading, they have these camps. I'm sure you've heard of them in China, you know, with their whole policy. I don't want to talk about it because they'll take the video down, but you know what I'm talking about. And what they've done is people in the family just disappear. They go into these camps, they just disappear. And the family members don't even know where they are. Well, that's a communist country. That's what communist countries do. Is something like that possible in America? Well, we wouldn't have thought that 10 years ago. We would have never imagined that. But when you hear this type of rhetoric and you see the ideology and you understand what they're saying, where are we headed? Is that where we're headed? I mean, at some point in the next few years, could we see kids being taken away on a regular basis from Child Protective Services because of some of these ideologies? I think it's a very real possibility. What do you say about that,
yes.
Mario?
Well, what I say about that is, how did this woke movement get the minds of our kids? Yeah. Well, let's talk about how that happened. It did it through fear. Fear. There are several fears that they brought on our kids. One is the fear of being accepted by their own generation. The second is the fear of not belonging to a community. There's a big difference. One has to do with peer pressure. The other has to do with the basic sense of safety. The third fear is the fear of the future. Now, let's take a 17-year-old kid in Detroit that was interviewed on a TV show and they hit his face. And the question that he was asked was this: why do you rob banks? They're asking a 17-year-old in Detroit, why do you rob banks? Later on, you're going to see a video of a looting in LA that we're going to show you. And I'm referencing it in this way. The kid answered the question saying, only one of three things could happen to me if I rob a bank. The first is I'll get the money and I'll get away and I'll have money. The second is I'll be arrested and spend the winter in a warm cell and I'll get three meals a day in prison. The third, he said, a cop will kill me and put me out of my misery. Now, when a generation is down to those bankrupt choices, something begins to happen. Now, my generation in the 60s was the opposite. They had an emotional security. They had a sense of the future that it was bright. They had an optimism. They experimented with things. That's why it was so shattering to us when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, because all of that Pollyanna world went away, but the idealism stuck. And here's the idea. The youth in that time, in the 60s, did not trust the government. Number two, the generation of the 60s believed in free speech. Those are the two opposite feelings of the current generation. Number one, like I said, 75% of them trust the government. Literally, 75% of youth say, I trust the government to do the right thing. When you are taking such a monster, a beast, such a corrupt entity, such a completely callous, dark, and unfriendly being as America's current federal government and say, I trust them to do the right thing, then you know where their mind is. The second is that they don't want people to say things. Your words make me feel unsafe. Suddenly, language became an issue of safety. The whole idea, we started making fun of snowflakes and talking about how they're in the fetal position in the corner in their safe zone. And right. they would take speakers and not allow them to speak on campus because what they say makes me feel unsafe. Well, it goes back to something that happened in Nazi Germany. The way that they got their policies through, they would give the people these draconian rules to live by. And then they would say a famous saying, this is for your safety. When a society doesn't give a new generation hope that they can make money and be out of debt and be safe, then the government says, you won't need any of those things. We will take care of you. And that's the choice. That's what's going on. They're using fear. They're using the fear. That's why this lady that called the children goblins is using that tone of voice, that officious, we're the experts, who are you? Listen to us. Don't think for yourself. We'll take care of you. And that's why they're subject to it. And that's what the agenda is.
That's right. You know, they've demonized Christians that talk about the different mountains, you know, seven mountains or whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is there's been a vacuum of Christians in government. There's been a vacuum in, you know, up until recently, even some of the school meetings, like you said, all of a sudden people are showing up. Praise God for that. But for many years, there wasn't much involvement. Mario. And I think about how you're laying this out very eloquently about how this takeover has happened through fear and, you know, flipping really from the 60s to now. It's total opposite. But if you think about it, they also use Hollywood. I know this personally, coming from Hollywood as a young Hollywood actor. I saw it firsthand, and I've seen it my whole life, where they use these celebrity figures as a form of idolatry. But really, these people are puppets, and they're pushed to push this propaganda on the folks. And for many years, people have accepted it. And it's almost like a cool factor that the celebrities have used to, you know, indoctrinate and cause the people to say, well, this is the way we need to be. This is how we have to act, instead of the church being the example. Because I always say that, you know, culture is downstream of the church. But if the church is not speaking or taking our rightful position, being the head, not the tail, what happens is these other elements, celebrityism, government, they come in. These are atheistic forms. These are Baal. They're Babylon is what they are. The system of Baal worship that are leading us the wrong direction, leading us astray, leading our children astray. And see, the left knows that if they go after the kids, it's only a matter of time before those young people grow up. And so if they can go after them at a young age and get them, it's actually a very well thought out, you know, process, right, that they do. So now we're at that critical moment where these kids have basically been indoctrinated from a young age, from their cartoons, their television shows, you know, their celebrity idols, whoever it is that they follow, their favorite singer like Taylor Swift or someone along those lines. And they're all pushing this same woke agenda. And we, as the body of Christ, need to be speaking truth and combating this. So that's where we're at right now, Mario. That's what's going on here.
Okay. So with that being said, let's direct our attention to something. Why are they believing a lie? Why are they believing a lie? Well, I'm a man of God. I believe in the Bible. So I have to say Satan is operating. But he's using a word that's very important. It's called ideology. And we're going to define ideology, not as it's normally used, but how it's come to be used. Not what it actually means, but what it has become in the youth culture. San Francisco is my hometown. It's been destroyed. There's no doubt about it. You would not believe what San Francisco's become. You know what Elon Musk called San Francisco's problem? He said San Francisco has a zombie virus, a mind virus, a brain virus, a zombie brain virus. 55 major stores have left the Union Square area of San Francisco, where I grew up. It's a ghost town. The San Francisco Center, where my wife and I used to drive into town and love to have dinner, right, in the city and go over to Nordstrom and see more pairs of shoes than you could possibly imagine. There were more places to eat and more things going on. Right. That's empty now. It's gone. The Hilton Hotel on Union Square, gone. And so why can't the city fathers of San Francisco say our progressive policies have encouraged homelessness, drug addiction, violence, crime, and finally now has gutted the economy of our city so that it is literally dying right before our eyes? Ideology. Let's understand that word. And so to further explain this and how it affects young people, I'd like us to roll a second tape. This is Victor David Hansen being interviewed discussing ideology.
Yeah, I think that's the role of ideology. It's not empirical, whether it's religious or in this case, green ideology. We've destroyed downtown San Francisco deliberately. It's not the city it was in 1950, with the homeless and the smash and grab and the decriminalization of felony accounts, defunding of the police. We're building a high-speed rail, Charles, eight miles from my home. It looks like Stonehenge. $15 billion, not 1 foot of track has been laid in the last 15 years. Meanwhile, we have these 99 I-5-101 ancient freeways where they're the most dangerous freeways in the country. They're only four lanes in many places. And for a fraction of that cost, we could have made six-lane, modern, efficient, and safe freeways. But we're doing things that, in the utopian way, have the indirect or the ironic effect of bringing us back to the 19th century. before civilization in this state,
yeah.
whether it's crime or transportation yeah. or water storage or the elements, the building blocks of civilization.
You know, it's just amazing to me. I'm watching Germany as a nation go backwards deliberately and lose their industrial might, lose their ability to go, to heat themselves. And it's just amazing. And California is doing the same thing. And you pray the rest of the nation doesn't follow suit. Victor, I wish we had more time. I always appreciate these conversations. Thank you.
So what you've just seen is the best definition of the current use of the term ideology, which means if it doesn't work, if it destroys, if it doesn't produce anything like it was promised to, then we're going to continue to hold on to it because we believe in the narrative, the story, the belief, the ideology. And if it destroys the city, so be it. The ideology works. And here's the other part that ideology does. It doesn't question. It doesn't ask.
Right.
This is kind of stupid. Let me give you a vivid example right now. We just said, didn't we, folks? Didn't we just say that 75% of Democrats trust the government to do the right thing? Well, here we have sent tens of billions of dollars to the Ukraine to do what? To secure their border. At the same time, Biden is selling the raw material at the southern border that made up the border wall. He's literally tearing it down. Any American who isn't under the influence of ideology would say that makes zero sense. That does not wash. That can't be possible. But the young feel compelled to continue to hold on to it. Hold on to it and believe it and choose it and make it. And that's where the danger of dictatorship lies in our country, is that our children would be willing to allow their minds to be so manipulated that even when disaster is imminent, they're going to continue to follow the agenda. That's what we got to break. That's what we're going to have to go at. And I really feel that that's an essential truth.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right, Mario. You know, when I think about this, this really bothers me too, because I believe this is also the fault of the seeker friendlyism and the lack of teaching and preaching the entirety of the Bible. You know, for many, many churches, for many, many years, and I know the viewers know what I'm talking about on this, a lot of pastors, a lot of churches have chosen a very motivational theme and not got into calling out sin, not got into actually teaching and equipping the saints, which is what we're supposed to do as shepherds. And so this is trickled down in all elements of society, and there's a lack of discernment. And what we're seeing is a reprobate mind. We're seeing minds given over, as the Bible says, to reprobate, to where they can somehow justify absolute insanity. Oh yeah, let's open our borders and let everybody come in, when everybody knows they wouldn't open their house front door at night. I mean, imagine just leaving the front door open all night. No one would do that. And it's funny, because when these people that are coming over the border that aren't really vetted, you know, there's been a couple instances where people have actually sent them to the homes of Nancy Pelosi and some of these other politicians. Well, they don't want them. They don't want them at their house. So it's funny. They want them to come in the country, but then they don't want them in their own neighborhood, their own house. We just played last week, and I'm so thankful that you had that clip of the New York City mayor literally saying, we need to secure the border. Why? Because it's now come to his city, and he knows, you know, there's no way to secure it unless we do that. So it's absolute insanity. And the watchmen that are watching this broadcast, you understand it, you discern it. But the problem is, we have been afraid to speak the truth and the entirety because of cancel culture. What are people going to think about us? They might censor us. I might lose my social media page. People might stop coming to my church. And I really believe that we cannot not do that any longer. As the church, as the body of Christ, we have got we can't worry about what people are going to say. We've got to set people up for success and let the cards fall where they may. I believe people are looking for lions and general pastors, people that are willing to speak the truth. And you know what? You might lose a few people, but you're going to gain those that truly are seeking the heart of God. We're at this pivotal moment, Mario, and all these factors, losing the children, reprobate minds, the madness that we're seeing in our cities, the government that's out of control. These are all factors of a church that went, you know, withdrew and went into the four walls, said, we can't get involved in politics. We can't get involved in, at the community meeting. We can't speak about those things. That's what's now brought us to this very critical moment. And it is absolutely high time that we change and we push back.
One of the high crimes that you use the term high crimes, one of the high crimes of this current time is that you and I are not allowed to challenge the questions of the last, what shall we call it? The last
2020.
Yeah. The last expression of democracy in the booths. We're not supposed to question how that ended, who won. We're not supposed to. You're supposed to be able to have your product canceled out of Walmart because you said that a certain thing happened, and there's no way you should be allowed to say that. But let's talk about that. That is how ideology works. It allows a double standard. I think I'm going to call for this third video of Hillary Clinton in just a moment here. And I want to show you, you just listen to what she says about an election she was involved in and what she said. Let's roll that tape right now.
Lock her up is still a big popular line.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. And I take responsibility for those parts of it that I should. But Jane, it was like applying for a job and getting 66 million letters of recommendation and losing to a corrupt human tornado. And so I know that he knows that this wasn't on the level. I don't know that we'll ever know everything that happened, but clearly we know a lot and are learning more every day, and history will probably sort it all out. So of course he's obsessed with me. And I believe that it's a guilty conscience in so much as he has a conscience.
Well, I got to say this in love, Hillary. Don't flatter yourself. I know that's Donald Trump, and he is definitely not obsessed with you. And I say that in love. But I want you to imagine, why isn't that video being taken down?
Right.
It literally said that there was fraud, and we're going to find out. You know, this is her 2,000 mules right here, boys. And, and it's there. Now, this is what I want to say. Let's dream for a moment that a miracle is happening right now, Todd. Let you and I just kind of believe that miraculously some leftist youth are watching us and they're looking at us and they are obligated by their ideology to dismiss every syllable of what we say. But what if by a miracle their mind opened up and this preacher right here said to them, look at your ideology for a moment and look at the word censorship. Doesn't wisdom tell you that if there is a vehement attempt to silence an opinion, that there must be an element of truth to it? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a threat. Somebody came at me and accused me of some crazy, stupid thing, I would laugh at it. The only people that people try to silence, I wouldn't, but others would. The only people that you try to silence are onto something.
That's right.
So if there's nothing there, they would be transparent about it. Your ideology won't let you admit that. The second is this. The monster of censorship has been let out of the bag. That's the tyranny of controlling what people think, controlling what opinions they're allowed, and silencing your political enemies through massive indictments. Using the system to silence your opponent in a free society. Here's the problem with that. Today, that monster is on your side. I remember the last Godzilla movie where they even said it in the movie. They looked at Godzilla and he had helped them and he saved them and he killed the monster. And they said, At least he's on our side. And one of the ladies says in a low tone, well, for now, baby.
That's right.
And that's exactly right. You don't create a censorship machine and believe for 1 minute that one day it isn't going to come against you.
That's right.
That one day it isn't going to turn on you and you're going to be the victim, because it's whoever is in power that decides in this ideology who is right and wrong, who should live and die, what is the warrant for freedom. It's not the rule of law, and it's got to be stopped.
Yes, that's right. You know, if you think about the left's ideology, they don't have a moral compass. What is their moral compass? I mean, you know, we have the Bible, we have the Word of God. There's no moral compass, so therefore there's really nothing to say this is wrong, this is right. And that's why it just keeps sliding more and more into the off the moral abyss. You know, it's because there's nothing to peg it to. And this is the problem, Mario. And it you're right about that. If you think about the brown shirts, you know, you and I were mentioning the brown shirts in our preparation for the show. You know, all these different times where communism took root in a nation, the leading up always promised one group of people, oh, we won't touch you. Don't worry. You won't be affected. And that's how they essentially turn one group of people against another. In fact, it's right here in the Rules for Radicals. They literally lay out the entire strategy. You know, the premise for tactics is to develop operations that maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Keep the pressure on. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they're doing with Donald Trump right now. They're keeping the pressure on, hoping that our side caves, that we back down. And what happens? Many people do. We're already seeing certain people say, well, maybe Trump shouldn't run, or, you know, we need to get somebody else in there. Instead of pushing back against the moral injustice that's happening that you mentioned, where they're attacking a political opponent in a constitutional republic, instead, what happens is our side gives into the pressure. And I really believe people say, why do you talk about these things? I believe we need to talk about them to educate, and so that we know how to pray and from a scriptural standpoint, push back. But if we don't talk about this, we don't discuss it, there's a lot of folks that don't see the entirety of what's actually happening, you know?
Right. You know, there's an adage about baseball and basketball. In a series of 7 games, if you lose the first 3, no one has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit. Yeah. And a nation divided the way we are right now has never come back without a tumultuous, explosive correction of some kind. It's never been done. And let me tell you, I watched those police chase videos. You've seen them where the car's racing through the streets. No one wins. No, they're always caught. The helicopter will find them, the patrol car, they'll throw out the spike, something, but the person will be caught. Some may run longer than others. But what has happened is the woke ideology is unsustainable. It won't work. Ultimately, the laws of the universe are going to kick in and correct this anomaly. And all of us need to realize that. What we have to do is ask God for a youth revival, a moral awakening among the young, instead of a civil war. Instead of the blood of humans being spilled unnecessarily, we need to watch the moral collapse of this nation averted by young people who are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, I was just in North Carolina, and I'm going to talk about this just for a moment. And I was with several hundred pastors. And the Lord gave me a very special message for them in which I described this. Where we disagree theologically is no longer important. What is important is that we have a common enemy, a common threat, and our disunity is utterly inexcusable in the face of this threat. We have no excuse, and God won't tolerate it. If a pastor or a minister or an evangelist or a prophet or apostle or a teacher decides my personal religious empire is more important than getting galvanized in prayer and in cooperation with others in the body of Christ for a national miracle, then I'm out of order. Now, I'm going to take this moment to tell you what is one of the first things you can do. Well, here's what John Wesley said. He said, young preachers, wherever you go, make sure you take good books for the people to read. Todd has written a book. I love it. It's called Come Out From Among Them. And it is a powerful book. This was written with blood, sweat, and tears, and the information contained in there. Every young person who's watching us right now needs to get a copy of this book. And I believe you'd autograph it for them, wouldn't you, Todd?
That's right. If they go to PastorToddBook.com, everybody that buys a book from that site will get an autographed copy of the book. And let me just say this about this book, Mario. You know, this is a strategy. It's the only reason I wrote it. I believe the Lord's given me a strategy, and it's all from the Bible, how we take back the territory for the kingdom of God, what we can do to effectively win in this spiritual battle that we're in right now. And we have to come out from this Babylon system. It's essential that we do that as believers in Christ and understand the problem and the plan of darkness. The Lord actually said to me, many are the plans of the wicked. But the truth is, we have the tools, according to scripture, on how to win. And we're on the winning team. And so we have to act like winners. We can't walk around defeated or give up. That's what they want us to do. They want us to feel defeated. If you look at the mainstream corporate media and what they're putting out, if you look at the propaganda, if you listen to all the people that are speaking with these talking points, like that woman that was on in the beginning of the show, it's all really set to make us feel depressed, feel defeated, feel like we don't have any power. Meanwhile, we're the majority. We're actually the they call us the silent majority. But imagine if that group, imagine if we stand up. And to your point, you know, Pastor Jack Hafer was a mentor in my life when I was a kid. One thing he'd always say is he'd say, focus on the 98% that you agree on instead of the 2% that you disagree on, you know? And we've got to get back to the main thing. And to your point, it's exactly right. We've got to stop arguing about all these things. We got to understand the urgency of this hour. But the fact is that there is a real way to win. And that's what we talk about on the show, is to equip and to empower you and to encourage you, by the way, to know that you're not alone. And you know what? You're not crazy if you think that, yes, I do have the right to raise my child in the ways of the Lord. Absolutely. And according to the scripture, that's exactly the truth. All these things that we're deconstructing their false narrative. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And yes, it's demonic. And we have to call a spade a spade. And so that's why I wrote this book, Mario.
That's good. Everybody get a copy. You won't regret it. It'll help you. Now, let's get to the good news here. The good news. With the time we have left, and we've got a good portion of time that we can use very wisely, we want to give you some good news, right? Yeah. Wokeness can make people miserable. And Jesus said that wokeness would, in his day, when he saw it among the people, they in the fourth chapter of John, he said this, you say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say to you, look around you. Vast numbers of human souls are ripening all around you. Ripening toward what? Being prepared. Now, let me explain what I mean that Jesus dealt with wokeness in his time. In Matthew chapter 9, in the Amplified Bible, it describes how Christ had compassion on the people. He said they were distressed. They felt forsaken. They were completely disturbed and depressed and anxious, as sheep without a shepherd, which has got to be the most pathetic condition of any animal. So watch what he does. He says, pray the Lord of the shepherds. He said, the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Here's what he's saying. A lot of people want to get saved. Everybody listen to this. A lot of people want to get saved. That means, without a doubt, that we are living at a time where wokeness is setting people up not just for dictatorship. At the same time, God is setting them up for revival. You know, I want to give you one really powerful example. Woke cannot bring joy. Woke cannot bring peace. So if the woke machine says the way we destroy America, that we gut the cities, we devastate the system, we game the court system, How do we get where we want to get in power and in control through chaos and fear? But here's what you don't have. No one can guarantee the outcome of making a generation afraid. That's a soundbite right there, and I'm going to say it again. You can make a generation afraid, but you don't have the power to predict or control how that fear will play out. That means that they're getting ready to get saved. That's what we're seeing in our tent. We're seeing thousands of people born again, mainly youth, because the woke machine has made them miserable. And I know you're seeing it in your meetings. I mean, every Friday night, you've just finished a conference where some mighty things happened. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that when you were saying this. We had a conference this last weekend, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to move and we don't quench the Spirit, something happens in the meeting. There was a young lady that was there. She's been dealing with same-sex attraction. She's been dealing with some drug addiction. And Mario, I'll tell you, just in the service, as the Spirit of God was moving and people were getting delivered and set free at the altar, she felt the presence of the Lord. And this is what we can never negate, a move of God. We can never minimize what God is able to do when we allow the Spirit of God to move. I think this is why there's been such an attack in the body of Christ on allowing the Spirit of God to move. You know, if you say we're going to have 15 minutes of worship and then we're going to have 2 minutes of announcements and I'm going to preach for 25 minutes, then we got to get home and watch this football game. We're not really allowing the Spirit of God to move in that service. Even if God starts to move, we quench the Spirit. But what if we allow the Spirit of God to move in our churches and we call upon the name of the Lord and we speak the truth from the pulpit and then we allow an altar time and prayer service and, you know, just get into the presence of God? This is when these dark demonic agendas that have latched on in the form of strongholds in people's lives, addictions, shackles start falling off and they're broken and we lay hands on the sick and they're healed. And so this is what happens at your tent, you know, is that people feel the presence of God and something shifts and it marks their life. You know, we're going to be going to Los Angeles in just a few weeks. I can't help but think about Los Angeles. This is a city that I pastored for 17 years. We actually have a clip that we're going to play here in just a minute of what's going on in Los Angeles at Topanga Plaza, which was a place that I often shopped at, like Union Square, which, by the way, Union Square was the second biggest Macy's in the country. People don't understand what's going on in these stores, but these places are ripe for the harvest and the tent is coming to Los Angeles. And I am excited, Mario, because I mean, they just had a small earthquake. There was a tropical storm named Hillary, by the way, that just came and flooded certain areas of Southern California. But I believe there's going to be a flooding of the Spirit of God in the month of September. It's literally just weeks away now. And why don't we go ahead and play that clip just so that they can see what's actually going on in Los Angeles.
Now, what I want to do is comment on this video that you're about to see, and I want you to pay careful attention to the lady that comments at the end, because she's the real story. What's going on in major cities across America with looting and crime is setting people up to say, enough is enough. And you're going to feel that way when you see this video. So let's roll the tape and see what happened in a Nordstrom store in Canoga Park, California.
Sandy and Rick, this was a Saturday afternoon. The mall was packed, tons of employees, obviously, and shoppers in the store. And that's when I'm told by police that more than 30 people rushed into the store and started ripping apart displays. And of course, he was caught on camera. Another flash mob robbery, this one erupting at the Nordstrom department store as more than a dozen people, masked and hooded, were seen stealing high-end handbags. Some even dragging purses chained to the display case, nearly out the door. Shoppers stood stunned as each and every one of these thieves got away, and with thousands of dollars in merchandise. Police say the security was overwhelmed after being hit with a chemical spray. People equally as shocked by the video.
Oh my gosh. This is just ludicrous. I'm disgusted. I can't believe we're allowing this day in, day out. I like to come here, and seeing this, it makes me not want to come here.
Wow. Okay, I want to comment on what she said. This is ludicrous. Why is this being allowed? That's the key word. It's being allowed, and that's getting to people. That's why this boiling point is coming, and that's why souls are being opened to God. You know, I wanted to comment about King David. When he committed sin with Bathsheba, he was overcome by the pleasure. He was overcome by the distraction. He was a king that was back at home and given over to vain imaginations when he should have been on the front line. And even Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, kind of demonstrated the honor that should have been in the king, because he refused to sleep with his wife because his fellow soldiers were sleeping in tents away from their families. Now, the reason that I bring that up is that David repented in Psalm 51, and he said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Yes. That is a key word, because what it means is this: at the highest point of my selfish pleasure, it's nothing compared to the joy of the Lord. Christianity is the exclusive purveyor of the joy of the Lord. And people are out there. They may have billions of dollars. They may have the world's largest yacht, but they don't have joy, and they can't have that contentment. And their wealth will mock them. That's why you look at Ecclesiastes verse 1, and it's a very powerful scripture. It says there's a great vanity in the earth, that God allows a person to have wealth and then takes away their power to enjoy it. Now, we're in that place right now where America is ready to receive God and receive Christ and receive the power of God. And we're going to see it in a few minutes, not necessarily right now, but in a few minutes, we're going to play the latest ad, the commercial for the 10th Crusade in Los Angeles. But it is true, isn't it, Todd, how God is preparing hearts. And everyone watching should realize they are a minister, that they have a gift, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about youth tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. I've worked with youth for many years. I've been a youth pastor. I'm not that old myself, but not that old. But I will tell you this, though, about youth. They're looking for real. They're looking for authenticity. And we don't need to sugarcoat things. We don't need to try to pretend to be like the world or try to be cool. We just have to be ourselves and teach them the ways of the Lord from the scripture. They will respond to that, Mario. And that's what they're looking for. And this is what there's a deception, and it's been going on for many years. In fact, when I came into the church, this was still happening at that point many years ago, where they thought they had to act like MTV. They thought that they had to be. And I always used to laugh, because I'd say, if I wanted that, I would just go to the real thing. I wouldn't go to the cheesier version of it at the church. And so we've got to drop that and realize what they're looking for. They are broken, hurting, and looking for the truth. And we have the truth, and we have the ultimate void filler in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is the solution, if you will, to the identity crisis. That is going to right the wrongs. That is going to fix all the brokenness, the self issues that people have, where they have identity issues, all the things that the enemy is using to focus on the young people. When we speak the truth of the Bible, the word of God does not return back void. And that's why I would encourage, especially if you're in the Los Angeles area, get to the Mario Murillo 10th Crusade, because this is going to be an environment where the Spirit of God is moving freely and truth is going to be spoken. And Mario doesn't sugarcoat it, but he speaks it in a way that people will understand. And that's why the youth are coming forward and they're dancing at the altar. They're excited, Mario, about the truth. And by the way, Teen Challenge is involved, and a bunch of folks that are outreaches to the community are involved.
Victory Outreach, yes.
Victory Outreach. I mean, they're involved. They're going to be coming as well. And so, you know, some people say, well, I don't know how to speak to certain people. I don't know how to witness to them. Bring them. Bring them to the tent. Fly in from other places around the country. I think this is worth it. A lot of people will go to a Taylor Swift concert. I know this for a fact. They'll fly in to other cities. Why won't you fly in for a tent crusade? It's a much better investment. There's going to be lasting effects, and it's going to mark your life. So there are solutions, and the Lord is moving, and people are looking for the truth. And so that's my advice to anybody. If you're a parent and you're praying for your young person, and they haven't quite come back to the Lord yet. You're praying for your daughter, you're praying for your son. Don't grow weary and don't give up on praying for them. You would be surprised how many folks are in the same boat and they're praying. I am a prodigal. My mother prayed me into the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a time when people would have thought that would never, ever happen. I was caught up. I was rebellious. I was angry. I was on drugs and alcohol. I'm just being transparent with you. This is many years ago. My mother, my grandfather, they prayed me into the kingdom. And listen, the devil would love us to think that the kids are a lost battle, that nothing's going to happen. That couldn't be farther from the truth. The truth is that prayer is a powerful weapon, and there's something very special about a praying mama, about a praying father, something very significant. And the faithful, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much, of a righteous woman avail much. So I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody on here, you have a child that's in rebellion and you're wondering if God is hearing your prayers. And I believe the Lord wants to confirm, yes, he's hearing your prayers and he is moving on your behalf. Let me just say this one last thing, Mario. When I was in Hollywood, I was at the clubs, I would come outside sometimes 2 a.m. And you know what? There'd be a guy, it wasn't Arthur Blessed, but there'd be somebody walking down the street with a cross. There'd be somebody playing keyboard on the sidewalk there. God sent people to minister to me in the darkest places. And that was because of the prayers of my parents. So please pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. Don't give up and don't grow weary. I believe they're going to come to know Jesus Christ. And it's going to be sooner than you realize.
Amen. And I love it that you said that. Because everyone watching needs to understand that the Bible says that we don't go by sight, we go by faith. And we are looking at a nation being torn to shreds, but God is not passive. He's not sitting back and watching this unaffected. He's rolling up his sleeves. He's going to demonstrate his glory in this nation. Now, this ad that you're about to see, we're going to roll the tape in just a moment, is a 30-second spot that will be going out to millions of people in the Los Angeles basin. And it just tells you in a very short message exactly what's going to happen in that tent. Let's roll the tape.
Hi, this is Mario Murillo inviting you to a mighty tent crusade at the Fairplex in Pomona, September 10th through the 13th. It's called Proof for Los Angeles. Untold thousands across America have been saved and healed in our tent. Bring someone who needs Jesus or his healing touch. All seats and parking are free. Fairplex, Pomona, September 10th through the 13th. Go to proofforla.com.
Yeah, we built a special website specifically for the people of Los Angeles. And I would recommend that you go to proofforla, proof, the number 4, the letter LA, all lowercase, proofforla.com. And you'll see what we've written and what we've designed just for people that are in Los Angeles to come to the tent. It's going to be an amazing move of God. I can't wait. There's still opportunity for you to volunteer to be in the army of God. You can go to Mario, you can actually volunteer right there, proofforla.com. You can volunteer right there.
That's right. The devil tried to send his version of the tropical storm Hillary and an earthquake, but I think God's about to send his own spiritual earthquake to Los Angeles, and many people are going to be set free. Mario, it's so amazing, too. It's at the Fairplex, and I mean, but that's an amazing facility to hold this mass. And yet, this is the biggest tent you've ever had, right?
Right. It is. It's 40,000 square feet. We can seat 5,211 people. Keeps me up at night. When we first used it, I wondered if we would fill it, and we sure did. And you actually saw it on that commercial. But God is moving in a mighty way. I think, Todd, it'd be great right now if you could pray for the people, and I'll agree with you in prayer for the people who are watching. Be encouraged and don't let the evil of the day overwhelm them. Realize greater is he who is in us than he is in the world.
That's exactly right. We're in it, but we're not of it. And the thing is, we're on the winning team. We always have to remember that it's a fixed fight. We're on the winning team. And so I just pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about a lot of things today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the message would be that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I pray for the prodigals that we talked about just a few moments ago, that they would come to know you, that they'd be on fire for you, and that the devil will not have our kids in the name of Jesus. The devil will not have our children. They are coming back. They're going to be on fire for you, Lord God. And we just say yes and amen to the plan and purpose for their life, which we know is hope in the future. The promise is yes and amen. I pray encouragement for everybody watching today. I pray that we would leave today strengthened in our faith, knowing that there is, in fact, a remnant army out here, and we're not going to bow down. We're not going to cave. We're not going to capitulate. We are going to stand on the promise of God, which is yes and amen. So we thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mario, why don't you take us out?
All right, one closing word. You look me right in the eye. America will not become a dictatorship, because between you and I and the power of God and his word, we're going to see miracles. Can't wait to see you again next Wednesday right here on Firepower. God bless you.